Speak session number 10648. Reel 1.
Mr. George Peak, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Peak?
Where? Oh, maybe a job. I only think this. I don't know properly. I think it was a street called Liddell Street. It's not there now, I don't think. But it was Liddell Street. Lower Broughton.
That's in Salford.
Lower Broughton, Salford.
And what was the date?
The date? May the 17th, 1896.
And what did your father do for a living?
What he did then? I think he was a flogger. You know what floggers are. Of course, you don't know them. You don't have them these days. But it was quite a good trade then. We used to watch them going from our shop. It was a shop. We were in the garret. There was a top room, you know, full of canaries there. And we looked through the window and we could see all the mill girls going past about 5:45 in the morning, going to work. They had to be there at 6. And we used to throw bits of leather at them for fun.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Two brothers. I had two brothers. One died. He was 5 years younger. And the other brother's still living, my kid brother. He's 82.
And was it a comfortable upbringing? Did you have enough food, clothes?
Was it?
Were you well off?
Oh, we weren't well off. No, we were, what do you call it? Well, like we are now. We weren't well off, no. I wouldn't say, well, we weren't starving or anything like that. We were just comfortable, as about that.
What school did you go to?
West Liverpool Street.
And what kind of an education did you get there?
Just an ordinary council education. When I come to go to the technical school, there was no room, only room for so many, those days. So I couldn't get in.
So when did you leave?
I started work.
When did you leave school?
And?
When did you leave school? How old were you?
I was 14.
So that'd be 1910. 1910 then.
1910, about 1910, yes.
And what did you decide to do? What were you going to do?
I had no idea. I tried for office work. There was no office work jobs going at all those days. Tried all over and couldn't get anywhere. And eventually I got a job in an electrician's shop. But that wasn't going out, that was, we were on a big lathe and we were making coils, you know, these coils in electricity, only big coils. Well, I was on a lathe doing them. And I wasn't going fast enough. I wasn't getting on fast enough, I thought. So I went to see the office and went to the directors and they laughed at me, you know, and said, oh, yeah, get on all right, but I didn't fancy it, and so my father got me into the foundry, iron moulding, making these big machines.
Which firm were you working for?
William Mewers and Company.
And what exactly was your job there?
It was making castings.
How did you?
Making castings for the engineers to do.
Do you still remember how you used to go about it?
And?
Do you remember how you did it?
Well, yes, in the ground and in boxes, all with black sand, all with sand, and molten metal, of course. It was all cast iron. It was a special kind, you know. It was the highest paid trade those days, moulding. I think those days you got £2.2 a week, 2 guineas a week. And I think in London they got £2.7 and six, bit extra. I know, when I came back out of the army, I went back to it.
Right, we'll come to that later.
Oh.
So, you were working as an iron moulder. What made you, you joined the territorials, didn't you, in, what was the month you joined? Do you remember the date of the...
I think it was about February, I think.
1914?
In 1914.
And what made you join the territorials?
Well, I wanted adventure. I wanted adventure. And friends, you know, pals of mine, we all joined together.
So, how did you go about joining? What made you join the 1st 8th Lancashire Fusiliers?
Well, it was the... there was two battalions in the... We had barracks there, you see. Two battalions in barracks. And, of course, we went and joined. We were pushed in the 1st 8th. It was either the 7th or the 8th, and we were in the 8th. We were pushed in the 8th. And your name, number, you got an A, you got a number. All your clothes were numbered, your rifle was numbered, bayonets. Excuse me, everything was numbered. So you'd always know it.
Did they put you through any tests when you joined?
Any what?
Were you tested in any way when you joined? Did you have a medical check?
Oh, you had to go. Oh, you said a medical before. You had to go before a doctor. And if you pass fit, then of course you're in. Oh yes, you do. You had to pass fit, but those days before you were allowed in.
And which company did you join?
Which company? Oh, A Company. And well, you pushed in. They sort your companies out, you know, when you join. You join the battalion, and they put you in the company. There was no platoons those days. Nothing like that. Just company. A Company. B, C, and D. There's four companies.
So... How many nights a week, or how often did you have to go to the drill hall?
Oh, well, you could go any time in the week that you wanted, really. But there was about two or three nights a week if you wanted. About twice a week to go for drills and that.
And this was at Salford Drill Hall?
Pardon?
It was at Salford Drill Hall, was it?
Not only for drills, no.
No, it was at the Salford Drill Hall, was it?
Salford Drill Hall, yeah. Well, Salford Barracks. That was it. That was what it was called. Salford Barracks. And they had Lee Metford rifles. And in the Lee, in two or three of the Lee Metford rifles, they had what they called Morris tubes. And you could fire instead of firing a 303 out of them, which had gone through the targets. You fired a .22 with a smaller charge. But it taught you how to shoot a rifle.
Did you get a lot of instruction in that?
Oh yes. Oh yes, it was proper. It was a proper military thing, you know.
Did they force you to fire the rifle in a certain way, or were you allowed to pick the most comfortable way?
Oh, you had to... they showed you how to fire the rifle, how to use it. And of course, you'd got to do a bit of training before that. March to attention with it, how to march with it, and how to lift it and move it about. And, of course, the more you moved it about, the better it was to handle. And then you came down to firing it. And you fired through Morris tubes for a start, and then they took you onto the range, like at Crowborough, or Croydon, or somewhere like that, where you'd be able to fire at 100 yards range, up to 1,000, with proper... Mark 6 ammunition. That was Mark 6 ammunition that was in the Lee Metford rifle. Of course, it was Mark 7 in the Shortley Enfield.
How did you do at shooting? Were you a good shot?
Oh, yeah. Very good shot.
What,
yes.
Why did it come naturally to you?
Yes, it came naturally.
Was there any quality you had that made... Was it steadiness of hand or what? What do you think made you a good shot?
Did I...
What made you a good shot, do you think?
Oh, I don't know what made me a good shot. I was just naturally a good shot. I'm plenty of francs. In France, when they came up with the insignia of marksmen on their arm, you know, they challenged us. And I accepted some of them.
We'll come to that later. what other training did you get at the drill hall?
We got no training at the drill hall. No, I mean,
at
not
the barracks, sorry. Yeah.
Just ordinary marching about and forming fours and all that.
Did you enjoy drill?
Oh, I did. I enjoyed it all.
What did you like about drill?
About drill? Oh, the formations. You just did a bit of formation, forming forwards and all that. There was nothing exciting about it.
Were you trained in the bayonet at all?
In the bayonet, yes. We had bayonet competitions.
What were they?
Well, you'd spring, instead of an ordinary bayonet, you'd a special rifle with a spring in it. And when you point it at anybody, the spring would come in. See? Instead of a bayonet going in. That used to go in. Oh, yes, we had that training. We had plenty of training like that. And we trained all through like that. And on Gallipoli we went with the same rifles.
What about any special training? Were you trained in the machine gun or signalling, anything like that?
No. I was trained as a rifleman. But we did have lessons on machine gun. We were shown how to use it, how to handle a Vickers gun. The Lewis gun wasn't out then. It was all Vickers guns. And we had two Vickers guns, and that was the Vickers gun company. So they used to travel around with us on wheels, on two big cart wheels. So
you just had lectures in them, you didn't actually get trained in them?
We had lectures, yes. Yeah. We didn't fire any.
Did you go on any route marches?
Any?
Route marches while you were...
Oh, yes. We went on plenty of route marches. Yeah.
How far would you go?
About 10 miles, something like that. We used to do a good... We were tired when we got back. I couldn't tell you.
How did the civilians react when you walked through?
Oh, they all came watching us, you know, and... But when war broke out, it was different altogether.
I'll come to that. Did you have any tactical exercises, you know, manoeuvres
no.
or mock
battles? Oh, we used to go to camp.
The summer camp?
Went to camp once a year. That was round about midweek. So I just got one camp in before the war started.
What happened at the camp?
We did manoeuvres. You know, we were taught how to advance and all that. You know, like firing and dropping and firing and dropping and as if you was an enemy there. And then, of course, a lot of the manoeuvres weren't for us. They were for the commanders. You know, we'd probably have a division there. And we'd be advancing on the 7th or something like that. But I think it was more or less for them than for us because we could do all that work, you know.
Well, did you enjoy the camp? Were you in tents?
Oh, yes. We were a fortnight in tents. In bell tents, yeah. I enjoyed it very much.
How did you get on before the war with your fellow soldiers? Did you get on?
Very well. Very well indeed. Champion. You had pals there, you know. You know, you make a... You have a chap... you'd be pal up with more than any others. But they were all good. There was an old man there. I thought he was as old as my dad. He was killed. Right until they found his age out, you see. But he was killed before they found his age out. He was a colour sergeant.
Were they all from the same kind of background as you?
Yes.
Ordinary working class?
Ordinary working class, yeah.
What about the NCOs? What were they like?
Just the same. Ordinary men. Just ordinary.
Well, did they treat you well before the war started, when they were training you?
Yes. There's no difference. Not in my battalion, anyway. They weren't in my battalion like they are now. I know they used to shoot them, you know. In my battalion, they used to shoot them.
Shoot who?
Shoot their own men. If they disobeyed and did things like that, you know. There was cowardice in front of the enemy. They'd come round and if you found you'd been running away, you'd be shot.
I'd like to come back to that a bit more. I'll make a note of that. But the NCOs, when they were training you, you were quite happy with the way they treated you.
Oh, yeah.
What about the officers? Did you see much of them?
Officers were gentlemen. They went all right with us. Of course, you get different kind of people, you know. And it just depends on how you take to them and how they treat you. Well, we seem to have fairly good officers. You know, but of course they all got killed.
Do you remember your company commander?
Hmm?
Who was your company commander?
I can't think of his name. I've been trying to remember his name, but I just can't. There's a photo there.
What was he like?
There's a photo by those photos.
It's all right. They won't be able to see it on the tape anyway. What kind of a man was he?
Well, I didn't know him in civil life. But when he was with the army, he was... he didn't bother with us much. Just gave command. Most of the commands were given by the NCOs, sergeants. Very, very, very few were the officers. The real commander was a man called Colonel Fallows. He was a good man, very good man. I liked him. Of course, I was a bit of a rebel, but when I joined the army, I made up my mind that I would obey all orders. But at work, in civil life, I was a bit of a rebel. I didn't like anybody telling me what to do. But in the army, I made up my mind that I would obey all orders, and I did do. And of course, it was quite all right. But Colonel Fallows was a really good man.
What was so good about him? Why did you like him so much?
Well, it's very hard to tell that. He just seemed to me to be very fair. I was never in front of him, you know, on a crime or anything like that. But he seemed very, very fair to me.
Now, you joined up in February 1914. You just had the one camp. Were you expecting war at all?
No. No.
Did you follow events abroad in the newspapers? Did you follow events abroad in newspapers, or were you not interested?
Oh, I followed events abroad, but I never expected there'd be a war, anything like that. The first I thought I heard of it was, I used to meet a pal of mine at the top of what they call Half Mile Lane, High Street. It's not there now. I used to walk up High Street and meet him there at the corner. And right across the road was placards, England declares war on Germany. And that was, I think, the first real intimation I had of war. I knew war was imminent, you know, by the papers, but I didn't think it would come to anything. But, of course, it did.
How did you feel?
Oh, I was quite elated in the home because we were going to get some adventure. It was an adventure of the wrong sort.
So you saw it then as a big adventure?
I was in then. I was in the army then.
Did you think you'd be involved? Did you think you'd have to go overseas?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right from the start you thought that?
Right from the start, yes, because I was with my pal. And the detectives, you know, were very, 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 very shrewd those days. I'm not saying shrewd's not the word, but they were very quivery about anybody standing together. And I just walked up and spoke to my mates, and two detectives walked up and said, "What are you doing here?" "Talking." "Oh, what's your name?" "I know your name. It was in my class at school." "So, I know your name." So they took our names. Of course, we never heard anything about it. Why they did it, I have no idea. But it was a habit of theirs. One was called Lanky Lane. At least that was his nickname, Lanky Lane. And that was it. I went home that night, and I got all my equipment together. Fitted it on my pack, everything. Never dreaming that I would be called up, but next morning, about 5:30 it would be, 5:30 in the morning, or not, or before, it was about 5:15 it would be. I was going down the, what they call the lobby those days, when a knock came at the door, and it was a telegram to say, Be at the barracks at 8:00, full marching order, as if we were going to camp. So that was it. I had to put my big basket down and start getting, change me right away into my khaki. They had two suits, you know, khaki suits. And a red tunic and blue trousers with a red mark down the side. So in the ordinary forage cap, you know. The Lancashire Fusilier badge in it. And round our collars, of course, something like that. It was all the Egypt. Different... The two sphinx on it, and one or two more things in brass, and the collar was white, and the tunic was red. And blue trousers.
So you had to get into your khaki kit. You took your khaki kit, though, not that one. What did your parents think? What did your parents think when you were called up? How did they react?
I don't know. I know what I'd have thought, but I don't know what they thought. I know my dad tried to join, but they wouldn't have him.
So, what happened? Where did you have to go? You got your kit together, and where did you report to?
What happened?
You got your kit together when you got the... telegram. And
I took my kit in, all of it, and they took the red tunic off us and everything, the essentials, you know. We had all the other stuff, the mess tins, and we had knife, fork and spoon, and we could take them home, and they gave us new ones. We had our own shoes. But there were no shoes for us. We had to wear our own shoes. and all that. And I had to take my shirt off and my singlet and put a khaki one on, one that they gave us. And took them home all in a bundle. No underpants, just the ordinary trousers. I took them home. Well, the first night they couldn't feed us all.
Is it Salford Barracks?
That was in Salford Barracks, because there was 2,000 of us, so they couldn't feed us all the stuff. And those who could go home for a meal went home. I was one of them. So that was it.
So you went back home that evening? You went home that evening then?
Yes. To sleep. Only for about two or three nights. And then the night before I started sleeping at the barracks. And everybody started sleeping at the barracks. On the whole of the floor, all over, and it was like in a big L shape. And I remember this very well, I'll never forget this. We had our rifles locked together, you know, what they call them. And they're locking together.
Stacked.
Anyway, they were locked together. Were asleep, and then somebody started singing while watching by the camp light in the bridge low, while the watchful sentries pacing to and fro, you know, that tune and that song, waiting for the morning, then to meet the foe, and all the 2,000 voices singing it that night. It was marvellous, just marvellous to hear it. And I remember it did it impress my on me.
Now, were they in a state of chaos with the 2,000 men? Did they get the food to you and everything during this initial period?
No chaos. No chaos. When war broke out, I couldn't get down Cross Lane to the barracks because there's so many people there. And round the barrack gates, it's just one mass. You couldn't get in the barracks anywhere. I had to go. I went home. That was why I went home and got ready. I knew there'd be something caught, we'd be called up. Something like that.
But when you did get in, you know, when you actually called in, what food were they giving? Were they able to provide you with food?
No,
rations?
No food. They couldn't provide us with food. Only those who lived a long way away. Those who lived near two could go home for the meal. And with me living near two, I wasn't very far away, I could go home for a meal, you see. I was all right there.
So, what happened then? Did the training start again?
No, we did no training then. Not for a few days. And then we were all marshalled together and we were given iron rations of all sorts in our bags, you know. In our haversacks. And we went away as if we were going to camp then. We marched from Salford to a place called Farnworth.
Farnworth.
F-A-R-N, Farnworth. And there was tents there. There were bell tents. And we stayed there in the tents for a week or two. I had no leave. I couldn't get leave. Some got leave. He asked us all to volunteer for Imperial service. I volunteered But there was quite a number that wouldn't volunteer. But I volunteered.
You still wanted the adventure then? Why did you still wanted adventure? That's what you saw it as still, was it?
Yes, still.
You still wanted adventure, that's why you volunteered?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Why do you think some people didn't?
Oh, I don't know.